There's a classic Christian book that's titled, Your God is Too Small. Your God is Too Small. It's a great book that instructs us to trust the almighty power of God. He is creator and Lord of heaven and earth. He is sovereign. That means everything is under his control, and indeed he has everything in control. Our God is too small when he's not big enough for us to look to for the purpose and meaning of our lives. If God isn't the one that is big enough to supply the purpose and meaning for your lives, then your God's too small. As we walk life's treacherous paths, and it doesn't seem that God's on duty today, when it seems that God is incapable of seeing us through those tragedies and trials that we face, then, well, our God's too small. Because the truth is, Scripture tells us, the Bible clearly instructs us, that God is at work in all things to bring about his purpose. And so if we're thinking that, well, God's just not going to be able to handle this for my life, I can't trust him for this, well, then our God is too small. This morning, we're looking at the title of Jesus, the Almighty One. The Almighty One. As I told the children, it means that God is omnipotent. That's a word that's used in the King James Version. That means God is all-powerful. There is nothing outside of God's ability to do. God is the Almighty One. And we should take great comfort in the fact that God created this universe. And the Hubble Space Telescope enables us to look out and to see the magnificent and the practically unfathomable reaches of this universe he created. And if nothing else, modern science should help us understand that God is far greater, far bigger, far more magnificent than we can ever imagine. And as I peer at some of those pictures from the Hubble telescope, the colors, it's like looking into a whole different world, something so unfamiliar, something so different than all the beauty that we see here. It's just an extreme and wondrous creation he has made. We've been looking at the titles for Jesus, what the Bible tells us about Jesus Christ through these titles. And first, from the book of Acts, we saw that Jesus was the Righteous One. What does that mean? He is the Righteous One. And secondly, is the Coming One, the one we are expecting to come. Third, last week, we talked about him as the Holy One. And what does it mean for God to be holy, who calls us to be holy? Today, we look at Jesus as the Almighty One. But for many people, to say that God is almighty, that he is the God who is out there controlling all the universe, controlling all our destiny, for many, that seems too distant, too far away, too powerful, a God whom I can't know, a God who I can't approach. And I think the powerful lesson for us today is this one who is called the Almighty One. As I read earlier in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. And in the book of Revelation, the titles that are given to God, and especially this, the Almighty One, how God was referred to in the Old Testament, now those titles are given to Jesus Christ. And why? Because Jesus Christ, the Almighty One, who lived for eternity past in the glory of heaven, one God in three persons from eternity past, living in a relationship of love and joy and ecstatic glory, came to us to show that this Almighty One is approachable. And he came and approached us and lived among us. in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, it gives us what Christian author and pastor Max Lucado calls the great stoop of Christmas. The great stoop, the great reaching down of the Almighty to us. Philippians 2, 5 says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's pause here for prayer. Heavenly Father, as we've read these texts, help us to understand that the great and awesome power that you have in yourself, and that great and awesome power also belongs to Jesus Christ, who is the one who emptied himself and came among us. And teach us that the Almighty One is also the one who has drawn close to us to forgive us and to save us. Help us to get hold of that today. And Father, help that it transforms us today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible tells us that although Jesus was the Almighty God from eternity past, he emptied himself, he took the form of a servant, a slave, and being found in the likeness of man in human form, he humbled himself. He came to us to be our Savior. In the book of Job, it gives us a picture of what it means for God to be the Almighty One. It says, "Who can discover the depths of God? Who can discover the limits of the Almighty? They are as high as the heavens, deeper than Sheol. Its measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. How can we even comprehend such a God?" In the book of Revelation, we hear that this Almighty God is the God who reigns. And no, we're not talking about precipitation coming down. What's another word for reigning? Not precipitation, but rules. He is a God who rules. He is the ruler, as we have heard already today, of the kings of the earth. That comes from Revelation 1:5, the ruler of the kings of the world. Revelation 11:17 says, "We give you thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, you who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign," begun to rule. Now, God has always been the ruler, although Scripture tells us that Satan, right now, in this time, is called the ruler of this world, that is, the one to whom those who are not of God, who are of this world and only of this world, the unsaved, have Satan as their ruler right now, even if they don't recognize it or believe it. But God is the eternal ruler. Satan's only a usurper for a short time, but soon, and Revelation tells us that in the end, God indeed will show that he is the one who rules and reigns over all the earth. He is called the Lord God Almighty, righteous and true are your ways, it says in Revelation 15, King of the nations. And then in Revelation 19:6, it says, "Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns." Some of you would know that better in the King James Version, of which Handel wrote in that great oratorio, The Messiah, "Hallelujah," the Hallelujah chorus, and it goes on. I won't sing it for you. Just get it in your head. Hallelujah, right? Got it? Okay. "The Lord God, the Omnipotent, reigneth. Right? That's what it means for God to be almighty, the omnipotent, having all power, and he reigns. And so God, the almighty, is the one who reigns. He is the ruler and the one who is sovereign over all. But this almighty God is also the one who reveals himself, who comes and to reveal, to show himself, he has to draw near to people. And so he did that to Abraham. It says in Genesis 17:1, and when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. I am God Almighty. It was the title which describes the character of God, the being of God. And God revealed himself to Abraham, saying that he is God Almighty. And in Genesis 35:11, it says, God also said to Jacob, at the point in which he had renamed him Israel, and from that comes the nation of Israel, it says, I am God Almighty. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come forth from you. Jacob, one man. And yet God foresaw that indeed from him would come kings and nations. I am God Almighty. In Exodus 6:3, God revealed himself to Moses in a burning bush, and he said, I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. As God Almighty. And now with Moses, he was going to reveal himself in a different and fuller way. But God Almighty is the one who reveals. And to reveal, he needed to come and come close to us. And in Jesus Christ, we have that greatest revelation of God as God came close to show us who he really was. He came close in the person of Jesus Christ and lived among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld this glory, not the glory that he has in heaven of a shining brightness. It was the glory of his love. The glory of his truth, the glory of his humility as he came among us. The third point that I have here this morning is God the Almighty is the one who reconciles. He is the one who reigns. He is the one who reveals himself. But as he came and revealed his love, he is the one who reconciles. And in doing that, we read that in Revelation chapter 1. Verses 5 to 8, it says, from Jesus Christ, he is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the world. All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by the shedding of his blood. Who loves us and freed us from our sins by the shedding of his blood. To reconcile means to bring together that which was estranged, to mend a relationship that was broken, to reconcile enemies who are opposed to one another. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5:19 that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses, their sins against them. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So the Almighty is the one who indeed reigns. But this one who reigns has come close to reveal himself and to show and to demonstrate the means by which he would reconcile us to God. We are all living broken lives, estranged from God in one degree or another. And God comes close to us to draw us to himself, to show us the depth and the breadth of his love for us, that we would be drawn close to him. In Ephesians chapter 3, this is not listed in your outline there because it just occurred to me it would be a great verse to read as we talk about the depth and breadth of the love of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your most inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, This Almighty God wants to live in us by faith so that you, being rooted and grounded in love, right? The reason he wants to come and live among us, the reason he came long ago was to demonstrate his love, and he wants to come and live within us and have his love made complete in us. And so he says that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints, that is, with all believers. Saints aren't perfect people. They're just all believers in Jesus Christ. With all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. To be filled with all the fullness of God is to be filled with the fullness of his love. And it says that in 1 John chapter 4, that we are to be filled with his love. God is love. And he who loves, it tells us, knows God, is born of God. And when we love, we experience the love of God, and his love is made complete in us. And so God is the one who is the Almighty One. And this Almighty One who reigns has revealed himself to be love for us and has reconciled us to himself. And so there's some promises we can trust here. First of all, that the Almighty One came to free you from your sins, as it says in Revelation 1:5. I've read that verse. Through his blood shed for you. This great and awesome God has drawn near, and he has done that which would seem impossible, that seemed like, who would do so much for us? And yet, being found in the likeness of men, in human form, he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross, and on that cross paid the full price for our forgiveness, to show us the depth of his love. And so first of all, trust that the Almighty One, Jesus, who is the Almighty One, came to free you from sin. That Jesus, who is the Almighty One, is working everything for your good and for his glory. Romans 8:28 says, in all things, God works together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And his purpose is to make us more and more like Jesus, the one who came so that everything would work according to the will and purpose of God. So God is the one who works all things, and that means all things. Not all things are good, but God works for good through all things. There are some things that are meant for evil. The person who attacked you, the person who stole from you, there we could go on, fill in the blanks. I don't even want to suggest all those horrible things, because some of it may bring up horrible memories for you. But all of those things were not good. But God promises to work for good to those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Near the end of the book of Genesis, Joseph, remember his brothers were jealous of him, sold him as a slave. He ended up 17 years in slavery. 17 years. He was 17 when his brothers sold him into slavery. Spent half his life as a prisoner. And God took him from the prison to the pinnacle of power. He's the second most powerful man in the world as governor of Egypt. And at the end of the story, Joseph's brothers came to him and says, you know, Dad died, and before he died, he told you to forgive us. Joseph says, who am I? Am I in the position of God? What you did, yeah, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I think it's one of the most marvelous phrases in all the scripture. What was meant for evil, God meant for good. And so the Almighty One came to free you from sin, and the Almighty One is working everything for your good and for his glory. And finally, the Almighty One is the one who intercedes for you, praying for you. He is not afar off, too far that our prayers cannot ascend to him. Instead, it says we can come confidently before that throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need, because Jesus is pulling for us. He's praying for us. He knows what we're going through. He's been through it himself. He knows what pain is. He knows what sorrow is. He knows what rejection is. He's been through it all. If anything, the manger in Bethlehem tells us that this Almighty One is the one who cares so much for you, that there is nothing in all the world and all the universe that he would not do for you. For God did not spare his own son, it says in Romans chapter 8, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also along with him graciously give you all things? The Almighty One. He is capable of all things. And he loves you. And he desires your love. He wants to fill you with himself. And he is love, and so he wants to fill you with love itself. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, on this season of Advent, as we look and anticipate remembering your coming as a babe in Bethlehem, coming as our Savior, coming to redeem us, to reconcile us to you, Lord, help us also to be looking ahead to you who is the Almighty One, who is the coming One, who will come again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who will put right everything that is wrong, who will make sense out of everything that seems so senseless today. Lord, you are the one in whom we can trust now, because you are the victor. You had victory over the cross, over death itself, over the grave itself. You are the one who is coming to proclaim yourself victor over all the earth. So we can trust you right now. We can trust you because of what you already have done, what you promised to do in the future. Help us, Lord, to draw close in this season to, yes, the babe in Bethlehem, because he is Lord. He is Lord who has stooped down to us to reveal himself to us. But he is Lord who reigns. And Lord, help us never to forget that you are the one in whom is all power. And the one who is all power loves us with an all-consuming love. We ask this and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.